Why do you always look at me when you say these people are sick?
I resemble that remark.
That's why I look at it.
Oh, I am definitely sick. Thank you, God. Good evening. My name is George Smith, and I am definitely an alcoholic. Briefly recap. I drank for a hell of a lot of years, and I don't remember too much of it. And when I did come to, or when memory came back to me, I was either in a jail, in a hospital, or an alley, or a dumpster, or God knows where. When I finally did put the drink down, I found out that I have a wife, two kids, a job, and living in a town for over 2 years and didn't even know it. Took a long time to take and hit my bottom spiritually and fully emotionally. Because I suffer from a disease of the mind and of the body, and as long as I put the alcohol in my body, I didn't care about anything or anybody. I didn't care what I had to take and do to get it. Whether I had to hurt you, or you were going to hurt me. Whether or not, what's ever going to happen was going to happen. I was going to get high. That's all that mattered. I didn't give a damn about anybody or anything, including myself, because that's what I needed. I needed that drink. I wanted that drink because I wasn't hurting anybody or anything until Christmas Day 1984, when I found out what kind of a schmuck I really was. When I crushed my four-year-old daughter, because I didn't even recognize her. And my 14-year-old son told me, he did my first step for me. Because he told me everything I did, either went up my nose, in my arm, or down my throat, and anything left over went to the courts, and nothing ever went to the house. And he walked out of my life. Come into AA right away because due to the simple fact is that I thought I could handle this, I could do it myself, and I hadn't read, I got a copy of the big book, I read it, and I thought it was a bunch of garbage. Skipped over all the parts that talked about God, higher power, spirituality, or helping others, or doing anything else, you know, that I do today willingly, gladly, and freely. I didn't do a damn thing. I went to a couple meetings, heard about God, told them where they could put their God, their psychobabble, and I walked out, but I didn't drink. It was only by the grace of God that I know today kept me sober, kept me dry, kept me from drinking. Because I was not sober. Maybe according to Webster's definition of sobriety, I had sobriety. Without alcohol and or minor mood altering substances. Yeah, I was sober, but I wasn't a happy camper, I think that's the term. Until one day I said a foxhole prayer for my wife. God, do something with that, because if she's drunk, I'm going to kill her. She asked for help, and I got her to a detox, walked out, hit my knees, and said, thank you, because God could do for me what I couldn't do for myself, and I haven't looked back to this day. I don't look too far into the future. In fact, I don't look into the future at all, because God knows what's going to be in store for me, because I don't. Because if I did, I'd probably screw it up, because I'd want to control it. Because I wanted to control everything when I was out there. I came into my first AA meeting and I met this gray-haired old dude that had like 900 years more time than God. He was an old AA big book thumping step Nazi. And he told me what kind of schmuck I was. And I take and say, yeah, but. And you go, that's $5. You don't understand. That's $10. What are you going to do with all this money? Don't worry about it. You'll know when the time comes. I'm still paying him off today. Hasn't been my sponsor for quite a few years, unfortunately, because he had a stroke. I'm very hard on sponsors. My first sponsor I gave a stroke to. My second sponsor died on me. And now I got a sponsor that's younger than me, but he's crazier than me, so I don't really care. But it's okay. All this money that he collected, as he took me through the steps, kicking, screaming, and bitching, I turn around and make sure that a newcomer doesn't leave the room without a big book. That's where the money goes. And I do that with the people I sponsor. When I first came in, I'm keeping this simple because the program had to be presented to me in a very simple way. My first sponsor, he asked me, he says, Mom, we're going to go do step three. I said, what about one and two? He says, well, could you quit drinking when you started? No. Was your life unmanageable? Did you ever get arrested? Did you ever get in a fight? Did you ever have a blackout? Did you ever get a DWI? 17 on my New Jersey driver's license in the state of New Jersey alone? Yeah, I think I might have had a DWI. Well, that was unmanageability. But that's all I could comprehend of what unmanageability was at the time. And he says, God opened the door for you when you came in this room tonight. And we are a power greater than you. That was plain and simple. You non-drinking drunks who are power greater than I. So I figured, well, the people in the rooms will be my higher power. He told me, no, you must find God. And I proceeded to tell him $25 worth of fines, what he could do with his God. This guy had no sense of humor. I loved Joe. And he says, but this is a God-given program. And I do believe that today. God gave us this program. I'm very passionate about this program because the program of Alcoholics Anonymous has saved my life. It may make a few people mad because, they got to put up with me. Because I'm still a grouchy, miserable, I so be at times, but it's okay. Thank God for the 10th and 11th step, But I did my first two steps that night because I knew I could never drink again. And I know that you people had what I wanted and you were willing to help me. At least this old guy was. And I figured he would take me through the steps and I'd be okay and I'd go back out drinking and, doing what I needed to do. Party hardy and all that. Well, Sunday morning he got a hold of me and we sat down and we went over, opened the big book. And we proceeded to take and go over the word for word in that big book, step three. And in doing so, he never said you. He never said anything but I. Though I know he was talking to me, about me, because that was me. I could see the insanity of this disease, the mental insanity of this disease of alcoholism. I could see where I was egotistical, self-centered, and in every other way. And didn't I not want to hear that? And I told him, no, I'm not like that. And he just go, $5. He kept very good track of it. because I didn't want to admit this. I did not want to admit that I had this illness. You know, I always thought I was so great and so grand and so wonderful, so sweet and kind and generous and all that good stuff. And at times I was kind, at times I was generous, at times I was caring and all that. But in reality, as the next line says, at other times we were mean, selfish, and a whole bunch of other things. And you know something? When I was mean, I was really being dishonest. I was being deceitful. I was being all those things. Because I was only out for one simple little thing. I was out for to get what I wanted. I was out for George Smith. And screw you. Because I wanted, I needed, and that's all that mattered. And after we got done going through this 8 hours later, he took me over to the hospital where the meeting was, and he proceeded to make 4 large coffee pots of coffee. 2 high tests, 1 unleaded, and 1 full of water. And he threw me the keys and he says, I hope you were watching because last night you didn't like the coffee. I made it, so from now on, you're making it. Get busy. And you don't give it up until somebody bitches about the coffee. I have great sympathy for the Freehold Saturday Sunday night group because I'll tell you, I could make lousy coffee. One night somebody came in and I thought I made a real good pot of coffee. And they go, boy, this tastes lousy. And I said, you got it. And I wound up sponsoring that poor schmuck. Yeah. The steps in the beginning were very simple for me. After I did the 3rd step, I thought I was okay, I can handle it. I'm cured. I know. Self-knowledge. I think it says something about self-knowledge in the big book. Bill Wilson talks about it, I think. I didn't go pounding on the bar like Bill. Because my sponsor, he says, that thought you're thinking is just, that's $20. He says, now we're going to get down to the root of the problem. I said, well, alcohol's my problem. He says, alcohol was your problem. Step 1. The solution for that was to trust into a higher power. Step 2. And the course of action was step 3, to make that decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God. He says, don't worry about the drink. Now we got to worry about the think. Ooh. What do you mean?
Well, the disease of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than his body.
Well, I only think about drinking. You are drunk before you pick the drink up. Duh. What do you mean? And he proceeded to tell me. He says, your mind tells you that it's okay. You can handle it. Your life's all right. Yeah. And what happens? Well, I go out and have a drink or two. $15. Because I never had 2 drinks. No, I always had 1 drunk, 2 drink, too many drinks, but that was about it. You know? And I know today if I ever went out, I'd only have 2 drinks. The Budweiser Brewery and the Jack Daniels Distillery. You know? So we sat down after that, the 2nd meeting on that night, and we started to go over step 4. Line by line, word for word. This guy here, like he, you know. Yeah. He goes, hands me a notebook, one of these big, thick spiral bounds, and he says, just list everybody you know every place you've ever been, worked, or thought about going, every idea or principle that you've ever, anything that you took and thought that, like, was a good idea, just list it. I said, yeah, all right. And I did that. He says, by the way, you got 2 weeks to do this. He says, any shorter than that, you're lying, and any longer than that, you're procrastinating. And any longer than that, you are going to get drunk. Plain and simple. You don't do a fourth, you're going to drink a fifth. Not me. I'm going to stay sober forever. $10. I mean, this guy was very, you know, he had all the answers. He had answers to questions that I didn't even know that I had. Or if he asked me a question and I, before I answered, he says, you're lying. And he charged me. I mean, this guy was, I says, God. And I thank God that he did. I thank God this guy was on my case. Besides the fact going to meetings, he turned around and he go, there's a good meeting up in Mattawan, which is a few miles away. He says, I'll see you there. Well, how am I going to get there? You got your booze, you can get to a meeting. Don't worry about getting home. When you get home, when you're ready to go home, you will get you a ride. He said, okay. And you know, he was right. You get me going to meetings. And he goes, when I got up there, he says, all right, now you stand outside this meeting and greet everybody. Huh? This ain't my home group. Don't worry about it. You do it at every meeting you go to. At the end of the meeting, he says, put the chairs away. Okay? And I did. I did everything that this man told me. Because it says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Now, this guy had me so mad, I'm going to take him through everything he says, and I'm going to prove him wrong. You know something? I'm still trying to prove him wrong. Because I love this guy. I was really blessed by this guy. And he had a wife that was, you ever hear of good cop, bad cop? Well, there used to be old Joe and his wife, Mary. Gravelly Mary. Because if he'd miss a point, she'd pick it up. Yes. But as I was going through the meetings with him every night, we're going through the big book every night. Because by the time I got done with my fifth step, we had gone through the big book. He also had me there with the dictionary from 1925, looking up all the words to make sure I understood what they meant. Because I didn't understand any of this stuff. I was such a genius. I thought I knew everything. And I found out I really didn't know anything about staying sober, about living life. I put down all my resentments. He says, well, when you get done with the whole list, you take and you start a new page and just list everybody. And I went through five of those notebooks. No, no exaggeration. I had to. He says, if the person comes to your mind, put him down. You know? And if you have a question, ask it. Now, I had a zillion questions because I didn't know what I was doing. I got to the, went through all the columns, got to that third column, and I figured, well, you really want the truth on here? That was a freebie. He didn't charge me for that one. He just laughed. But yes, and I did. I put everything down. And I went through, I found out my fears. I found out my insecurities. And he made me inventory even on those. I mean, this guy was... One night I call him up and I says,
Joe, I can't, I just can't do this anymore. He says, why? I says, I got so much garbage I gotta get rid of it. He says, well, come on over right after Jeopardy. I says, thank you. I'm a Jeopardy freak, and so was he. Went over to his house. Oh, let me backtrack a little bit. We did the third step. We got to the third step prayer. We were raining like hell, and there was a big mud puddle outside. And he says, come on outside. We're going to go pray in God's house. Because you don't pray to God in a man's house to God. You pray to God in God's house to God. And we went outside in this puddle. It didn't look that big, but I found out how deep it was. Because he and I knelt in that puddle. And we prayed. We did the third step prayer. And it meant so much. I felt free. Thank God he got me right into my fourth step. Now, he only lived maybe a couple hundred yards from where I lived. And I went over there, and I'm thinking, I got my notebooks, and I'm my big book, and I'm ready to go. And I'm walking real fast. And each step got faster. You know? And I finally get to the door, and I go, he's not, hi Joe, how are you? He opened the door, he knew me then. You know? He says, come on in. Mary yells, the coffee pot's hot. And she disappeared. And I said, Joe, I have no idea what I'm doing. But if this is going to help me not drink, please help me. Because I didn't want to drink. And he told me a little bit. He spoke a little bit. I spoke a little bit. And we went back and forth. And I learned more about this man. And I learned more about me. And about life. And about my feelings and my emotions. And I cried and I laughed and I was horrified. And I was happy. I was everything. Everything that I always wanted to be free. You know, one of the promises of the fifth step is we'll be able to look the world in the eye. And for the first time in my life, I could trust another human being. You know, step two says trust in a higher power. Step five is asking me to trust another human being with God's help. Admit it to ourselves, to God, and to another human being. The exact nature of our wrongs. And I told that man things that I would never tell anybody. But as I was telling him, you know, the weight just fell from me. I mean, it says we are delighted. Delighted in hell, man. That promise, it was more than that. I felt relief. You know? I really felt that there was a God. And he can and would save me. I truly understood for the first time how the unmanageabilities that I learned about in step three controlled my every thought, word, and action when I went through that step with my sponsor. It may not be like that for everybody. You know, the relief that I felt, the joy that I felt. But man, tell you what, I never felt that high from any drug or substance that I ever took because, man, I floated home. I floated home. And an hour later, my phone rang and he says, get your ass back over here. Yes, Joe. Because I did. I took my big book down. And I went over to first five proposals. I went over to first five. I did them to the best of my ability, but I even told him what I was doing. I said, Joe, there's so much more coming into my mind about things that I've left off my fourth step. He said, well, that's for your next one. Oh, you mean I got to do more? He says, yes. He says, you're only going to do one fourth step in your life. For the rest of your life, you're still going to be doing the same damn fourth step. And you know something? He's right. I'm still on my first fourth step after all this time. Because things keep coming up. Things keep coming up. And the solution to my problem with the world was my sixth step. To get rid of my character defects. My character, it isn't my emotions that were wrong. It isn't the feelings that I had. It's what I did with them. There's nothing wrong with getting angry at somebody, provided you use that anger in a constructive way. You know, I like the, my boss turns around. He bought a bunch of new tools at one time. And I'm using some beat the hell stuff. And he goes, and I'm mad. He goes, well, why don't you buy some? If I hadn't have been mad enough, I wouldn't have bought tools or the Snap-on man when he came. I wouldn't have bought some tools or the Snap-on man. I'm on a first-name basis with my Snap-on dealer because I owe him more money than anything else, but that's okay because I'm still buying tools. But it was, I got mad at somebody and I did something constructive with it. Rather than lashing out, I did something to improve myself. I saw the defect in me. I needed to see something that I needed corrected, and I worked on it, and I'm still working on it. You know? It's what we do with our anger. You know, if I was drinking, I probably would have punched my boss in the side of the head, you know. But I don't do those things anymore. You know? I see a good-looking woman. What do? I take it home to the old lady. You know, like, hey, honey, I love you truly. But, you know, I do things differently now. Of course, by the time I get home, at my age, I get home, it's like, honey, there was something I wanted to tell you. But it's okay. I don't remember what it was. She says, don't worry about it. But if I do remember, she says, don't worry about it. this program is great because I probably would have gotten angry at her and killed her, but today I just laugh about it, you know. Things are okay today. Well, anyway, we went back and I did the, and we went over this, what it says in the sixth step. Did I try making motor out of without saying no? I'm just trying to do the best I can. And again, it was a rainy night. And he says, come on, let's go. And it was cold. And guess what? There was another big mud puddle. That guy could find mud puddles in the middle of the Sahara Desert. I swear to God. And I knelt in that. You know, I asked God to remove my shortcomings. My shortcomings are basically the things of which I do greedy. You know, why I do the things that I used to do. Why did I get angry? Get rid of all that stuff. Why did I take them? Rip you off. You know, all the ration of lies that I had, I said I could rationalize anything. And And buddy, that's all I gave people is a ration of lies. We get all done, we stand up, and he looks at me and he says, now go out and get yourself a sponsee so you can work the program. And I did. Took a while. Took a couple of wet 12-step calls to go out and do it. I was made my first wet 12-step call in 65 days. I celebrated my 90th day in the fellowship in the Monmouth County Jail, carrying a message. At 128 days, I got my first sponsee. And what did I do with him? I stood there and told him my story. It's plain and as simple as Joe told me his. And this guy was bigger, meaner, and uglier than I am, and I thought I was going to get living daylights punched out of me. Damn near did. And he bitched about the coffee. Guess what? Got rid of that coffee commitment. Thank you, God. You know? And I took him through step two. Told him we're going to go through step three. And he said, well, what about one and two? And I did the same thing what Joe did with me. You had trouble to stop drinking? Could you stop drinking? No. Because you could paralyze over alcohol. Did you ever get arrested? And he goes, no. Did you ever get a DWI? No. You ever had a fight with your wife? Yeah. You know? I went home that night, and after I got done with talking to him, I went home and called up Joe, and Joe said, now you're going to work the program. You know? Because today, these steps, as I've gone through them with other people, because every time I take somebody through the steps, I go through the steps. I have to. It's the only way for me. You know, step three is my life story in many ways. Yeah, I'd be nice to my wife and say, yeah, let's go over to your mother's. Now, my wife didn't particularly like her mother, so, you know, it was fine because as soon as we left, we went to the bar. Yeah. And I always tell my kids, come on, I'll take you to the store. I took them out, buy them an ice cream, and I turned around and sat in the bar all day. Because wasn't I being a nice father? You know, that's the way I thought. That's the way I acted. You know? Oh, I'll help you work on your car, because you're going to buy the booze. You know? So it's going to take a couple, 3 days to work on your car. Well, a little more complicated than I thought, you know, like, you know, but that's the way I was. But I'm not that way anymore today. Today I make my, if I say I'm going to do something, to the best of my ability, I'll do it. You know, I still do the same things I used to do. But today, I'm upfront why I'm doing it. When I get somebody I'm going to sponsor, I tell them I'm going to take, and I'll take you through the steps because I need to go through. I need to learn, and you're going to teach me. Because I learn from the people I sponsor. I learn from the people that are around me. Are these steps going to help me? I don't think I'm the same person today that I walked into these rooms. Do I have a lot more to go? Yeah. As I go through with the people I sponsor, or even with the person I have as a sponsor today, it's basically, every time we talk, it's damn near always a fifth step. Because something's always coming up. I got shanghaied into this because my sponsor said, we're going up to the Wilson House. We went up to the Wilson. No, my sponsee turned around and says, oh, you want to go to the Wilson House? I says, okay. So we went up to the Wilson House to hear somebody speak. And my sponsor was up there and he goes, have you ever been on any wet 12-step calls? I had, well, Joe was a sponsor. I've been on hundreds of them. No, I've been on about 15 to 20 of them. And I mean the wet 12-step calls where you're taking, you sit there and you sit on the guy's chest and keep him from drinking. You give him a little bit of beer or booze to take and keep him from DTing. But that's the way it was back when I came in. You know, you took him to the rehab after he could get up and stand up and walk. You know, because we did things like that. And if somebody starts spouting stuff off in the meetings, you take and you say, "Hey, man, it's not in the book. Joe said it was it's a map, a roadmap to my life, my future, because there are two futures in that book for me. Of what this book, what this world could be, it could take and be death, jails, and institutions if I pick up that first drink." Or it could be a joyous, happy, and free. You know, God only knows what's going to happen beyond that. You know, I worked these steps today a little bit differently than I used to. Today I worked them with a greater depth than when I first came in. Because when I first came in, I couldn't understand what unmanageability was. Today I look at the problem and I can see what I'm doing. But something's not right, and I'll sit down and I'll take it right on it. I'll talk to the people around me. And I'm not afraid of taking a hit, you know. If you're standing outside the door after a meeting and I got something I want to talk about, you're listening. You know? And if you don't like it, you better be talking to a newcomer, because if you're not, I am. You know? Because that's what keeps me sober today. I'm not afraid to take and talk to the newcomer and sit there and just dump a fist step on him, and he'll turn around and say, "Whoa, man, I wasn't that bad, but I can identify." Yeah, well, thanks for listening. Give me a call. I'll turn around and do the steps, you know? You know, it works. It works. Because I'm not sober by anything that I've done. I'm not sober by any thought that I have. It's only by action. And as Joe said, more action. And more action. I still make coffee. My second sponsor I had, he was another old guy, an old timer. Everywhere you went, he was the first one you met. He greeted at every meeting he went to. He made coffee at every meeting he went to. And he taught me patience and tolerance, because he could put up with me. He says, "Well, Joe took you through the steps and I don't want to listen to you. But every problem I had." And he goes, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" And if I hadn't had a piece of paper in my pocket to give him an answer, he'd hand me a piece of paper and a pen. And he says, "In Victoria, that was all bad." Yeah. And he'd go anywhere, any place, any time to help another alcoholic. He was another old-time hard ass. But I'll tell you what, these people, they taught me one important thing. I used to laugh at everybody and your little silly little problems you had. I thought everybody else in this world was the biggest joke. You know what the funniest thing in this world is? Me trying to think. And if you really want to take and laugh, I found that the best thing to laugh at is myself. So if you ain't got anything to laugh at, you can always laugh at me, you know. You know, it's okay. Because life's all right today. Life's pretty good. Why? Because I keep doing what I need to do. And what do I need to do? I need to keep writing that lousy inventory. I'm still going over some of the stuff. I look at my first inventory and I'm saying, this isn't right. It isn't right. But at the time, it was as right as I could have made it. And I believed it the way I perceived it. Last week I spoke about a Christmas tree. That Christmas tree that I was at that house when I came out of the rehab, the Charlie Brown tree. My wife hates when I tell that story, because I've seen pictures of that Christmas tree, and it was a beautiful tree, and there was stuff underneath it, but I couldn't see it, and I got to remember, I can't see anything with a closed mind, a closed heart. I have to open it up to God, and God lets me know what is what. Do I always do these things? Am I a perfect AA, or am I working 100% by the big book? Hell no. Somebody outside just asked me, well, you know, how long have I been sober? I think I said like since Monday morning or Tuesday afternoon, something like that. I had a kid at work. I wanted to punch the daylights out of him. The kid got under my skin. It took me a little while to get over this, to take and see where I can still screw up. I'm not a perfect angel. I don't walk on water. You know? I hope you two are laughing with me. The one I sponsor and the other one I 12-stepped. And they're still coming around. But you know, but the thing is, life is okay today. You know, I'm not perfect. And when people tell me, you know, George, you're screwed up, I gotta listen to them. 99% times out of 100, they're right. You know, right from the very beginning, my sponsor says, well, try looking at all the things you're doing wrong in a day. I says, I'd be doing inventory all night. He says, no, you can just look at what you did wrong for the day and try to correct it. You know, I didn't realize what he was saying. You know what he was telling me to do? 10 and 11, right from the beginning. Yeah, and the great intellectual wisdom model, wonderful person that I thought I was. I tried to think myself into living right. You know, I used to be a royal pain in the ass. He says, just do the right thing. Just do what you're supposed to do. He goes, think about what you're doing. And your first thought's going to be wrong. He says, then think a little bit more. And you better be thinking, call your sponsor. And I used to call him every name under the sun. But I'll tell you what, he put up with me. I probably owe him $500,000. I don't know if he's charging interest, but I'm still paying off the principal. I'm still giving out big books. I'm still doing all the things that he told me to do today. You know? Why? Because every time I go into those jails or the detox, they're about me, and that book comes out, and I write more. Yeah, I do a lot of inventory writing. Why? Because I keep learning about me. Every time I get a new pigeon, or a new sponsee, or whatever you want to call them, another sucker to drag through the steps, you know, they have to sit down and they have to listen to me. As they're dumping their stuff out, I'm dumping stuff out. And you know, it never fails. I don't know if they get anything out of it. I get another day's sobriety and a little bit more happy. You know, this program just might work. I try to take and do this the best I can. the first time I take somebody through that, I take it, try to do it as simple as I can. You know, that first step today, powerless over alcohol. Yeah, I still think about it. There's times I go to the restaurant and that person has that little drink, you know, and I want to choke them because they have a drinking problem. They don't know how to drink. You know, it was the other night, their glass is empty. You know, and it's still half full. Mine would have been empty along with about four bottles laying there on the floor, you know. But I can't do that. Since I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous, I found out that I go to an Italian restaurant because my wife and granddaughter like Italian food, but I don't. I used to go for the wine. Yeah. But it's okay. I've been in bars. I walked in there and people that I've sponsored were sitting there and I walked in doing okay. And they've walked out with me. I've gone into those places. Why? Because the book tells me I can. I need to. I need to do these things. Because God's on my side today, if I do His will. See, God will provide me with everything I want. A clear head, an open heart, and a conscience. He hasn't given me the $1 million car or house or the yacht or anything else. But as long as I do His work, He'll give me what I need. He gave me today. I haven't figured out what I'm going to do with it yet, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to take and try like hell to stay sober. You know, because it's a pretty damn good day. My body hurts like hell, but, you know, I think that's a case of paying the fiddler back. You know, the old expression, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I wouldn't have done the things that I did, so I wouldn't feel the way I did. Man, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I would have done it harder, so I wouldn't feel this way today because I wouldn't be around. If I had another drink, I probably wouldn't be. Maybe that's why God's keeping me here. You know, I thought this whole program was about not drinking. But when old Joe said, "Find God, or you're going to get drunk," I tried. I don't know. I spent all my life trying to take and get my shit together and, you know, well, I ain't going to smoke dope today. I want to get my act together. I'm not going to drink bourbon. I'm going to go drink a quart today because I want to get things together. I got to get my life together. And I kept putting all this stuff, stashing and shoving it. You know? I found God today. When I cleaned house in my fourth step, and I took and threw that garbage out in the fifth step and the sixth step, you know something? I found God. He was under all that garbage that I kept trying to hide, trying to get together. And as I dig down, I find glimpses of Him. I haven't found Him yet, but I know He's there. I see the little glimmers of Him with the smile on a newcomer's face when his face turns from desperation to hope. When you see that glimmer in their eye by walking the steps. When you reach out, you know, to see that person. God is there. He's under all that garbage that I tried to keep for all those years. There is a God. And I learned one thing. There is a God and it's not me. Thank God. And how do I keep in touch? I hit my knees. I say my prayers. This program taught me how to pray. Old Joe says, "I don't care what you pray to, just as long as you don't pray to and for yourself." Well, what's there to pray for? Tell me I can't pray for money? And he says, "Don't bother trying to pray for looks because that's a lost cause." I mean, this guy was very sympathetic. He was nasty. But I loved him because he saved my life. And he told me why he was doing it, so he wouldn't drink. Wow, plain and simple. I was a greedy SOB. I would do anything for you just as long, because I knew I was going to get everything from you. Third step tells me that. Now, I'll do everything that you want or need to do to help you stay sober. Why? So I'm going to be up front. I'm going to stay sober. I'm not being greedy. I'm being happy. Because it's, you know, I'm just paying back a debt. I give out big books to newcomers to pay back a debt. I try to take people through these steps to pay back a debt. I said earlier, I don't know if I belong in AA or not. I don't know if I'm an alcoholic or not, because my mind keeps telling me I'm not. But I'll tell you what, I've had more fun in AA than I ever had out there, so I'm going to keep coming to make your lives miserable. You know? But it's different. Life is better for me today. I had to go on with about how these steps have changed my life. I'm here. I'm sober. I'm alive. I can stand up. I haven't fallen down today. And I haven't hugged a porcelain mama in a long time. You know? It's a miracle. And the biggest thing I could take and say today is that just before I came here, my granddaughter gave me a kiss. She's 10 months old, never seen me drunk. Never has to see me drunk. There's one kid here sitting in the front room, in the front of the room, when I was celebrating 18 years, that was 18 years? 17, whatever. Last time I celebrated, whenever the hell I was, he comes up and hands me my granddaughter and says, she never has to see you drunk. You know, it's the truth. Why? Because I admitted I'm an alcoholic. You people help me. You know, my life is so much better. I do my inventories, make my decision to turn my will and life back over to the care of God. And over to the care of God. And over. Because I keep forgetting who and what I am. I know who I am. My name is George Smith. What I am. I'm an alcoholic. My disease tells me I'm not. So I don't know if you're getting anything out of this. I hope you are. All I know is I'm here tonight to take and say I love you. God bless you. Please keep coming. You know? Thank you.